Welcome to Community Connections. I'm Alan Collier, and it's my pleasure to be with you for the next 2 hours. And of course, being a Wednesday, first interview will be with Jennifer from Red Cross. We'll talk to her in a minute, and then we'll also, between 1 and 2, have quilts for orphans, which is a terrific organisation, both great organisations. So we're going to find out a bit about, certainly in the first hour, about Red Cross. We all know a lot about Red Cross, but Jennifer will be able to tell us more. So first of all, welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you very much, Alan.
Great to have you along. Now, first of all, you tell me they've just had the elections for the state for Red Cross. So everybody's fired up, ready to go for another 12 months.
Absolutely. And in fact, our advisory board has grown from 5 to 12 people following this annual general meeting, where people are really excited to be part of Red Cross, which is a delight.
Well, that's terrific, because you and I were talking before, and I just talked to somebody out in the foyer that they've had to wind up because they couldn't get enough volunteers. And so you've obviously got more than you had last time.
Indeed. And we did actually put the advertisements out on LinkedIn saying that it was time for people to apply. And there were nearly 200 applications for positions on the Victorian Advisory Board.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's really fantastic. All right. So what did you learn at the AGM?
It's been an incredibly busy year for Red Cross Victoria. Every single one of the numbers that the state director reported was an increase on the number of services we provided over the year before.
Yep.
She hadn't actually realised that, and I was just happened to be comparing the numbers and was flabbergasted.
So what sort of things are we talking about, Jennifer?
So one of the community programs we run is patient transport. There were nearly 7,100 trips over the financial year.
This is where you've got volunteer drivers taking people to and from hospital appointments?
Correct. And we do actually have a team out here in the Outer East. It's based in Wanturna. There's 5 chaps and they each have a day a week. They're actually not completely utilised, so if there's any medicos out there or aged care facilities who need transport for their clients, they all know how to organise that.
It's mainly for people who are going to medical appointments only, or
it is mostly for that. Yep. We also had over 97,000 telecross and telechat calls over the financial year. Telecross is when people call and it's just a quick 5-minute conversation every day, just to make sure that that person is answering the phone and that everything's okay.
So Red Cross actually ring the people.
Yep. And a lot of volunteers do that. They all do that from their own home, and it's usually 1 hour a week or 1 hour a month.
It's not a big commitment for a volunteer, is it?
No. And apparently they just love it. You get allocated to different people all the time. Telechat is a longer, it's maybe an hour with one person on a regular basis, but so nearly 100,000 of those calls.
When you say it's longer, is that because it's more complex or the people want more time?
The people want more time. They usually have even fewer interactions with friends and family, and so they really need that extra time just to have a chat, find out what's going on in the world.
Yep.
We also visit people in aged care facilities or on aged care packages in their own home, and there were nearly 1,600 visits across Victoria.
And there again, just to keep in contact with the people?
Yeah, again, I mean, there are a lot of people in aged care who don't have family and friends, don't have visitors.
And some, unfortunately, put them in and forget them.
That's true.
I know, because my mother was there, and I know there were people there who had family, but they just never came.
Yeah, and one of the things that Red Cross is doing at the minute, we've got a aged care facility in Camberwell that's looking for some Greek-speaking people to visit some residents, and it turns out that we have a Greek unit within the metro region of Red Cross, so I've connected that unit with the community programs person, and hopefully that will end up with a couple of people being able to visit and speak Greek to these elderly residents.
Gee, that's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, you never know what it is that is needed by a particular person. Every case is different.
Yep.
Yeah. Emergency services. Red Cross is well and truly known for emergency services, and we have about 3,000 emergency volunteers in Victoria. Yeah. And I'm pleased to say this actually is a set of numbers that is less than the year before.
Oh, that's great.
Because we had the fires and national floods last year, but we did have floods in Victoria, and over 16,500 people were assisted through the Victorian floods. 24,000 in recovery, 40 Red Cross volunteers are embedded in their local councils for developing the municipal emergency management plans. We've got another about 30 councils to go to get a permanent volunteer on those committees, but that will happen. And over 1,600 kids went through the pillowcase program.
What's that?
It's a great program. It's targeted mostly at grade 3 and 4.
Yeah.
And some trained Red Cross volunteers go out to the school, often in Term 2 because it happens to match in with the Term 2 curriculum, and they'll talk to the kids about what they might want to take with them, what they might want to prepare to be able to take in a hurry.
And we talk about fires and floods and that.
Fires, floods, or it might be that grandma is really sick and mum says, come on, we've got to go, and we've got to go up to New South Wales to look after grandma or something. They've got to do something quickly. They usually start by saying, oh, the TV.
Yeah, which isn't going to happen.
And my Xbox. And all sorts of things like that. And then they have a group conversation and then smaller group conversations. And by the end of the two-hour session, they usually come up with things like the cat and their favourite jumper and their favourite book and maybe a change of underwear or something like that.
And some of these say mobile phones.
That's right, hopefully, and charger.
Yeah.
And they're given a pillowcase, and then the kids all draw on what their important things are to them that they will take. They draw those on the outside of the pillowcase.
That's a good idea.
It's fantastic. Yeah.
Pardon me. We'll just take a break and we'll be back with more.
You're always on the run now, running after somebody.
That was Laura Branigan and Gloria. It's hard to know the name of that song, wasn't it? But she uses the word every few seconds. Jennifer, I'm talking to Jennifer from Red Cross. You've still got a couple more things to tell us about that came out at the AGM.
Yeah, just two, Alan. There were about 500 people that Red Cross was the case manager for who were affected because of family and domestic violence or trafficking. And apparently we have more people trafficked in Victoria than any other state in Australia.
Yeah, somebody told me that. I wonder why.
We think it's probably because of the number of people that are working in the agricultural area, and it might be, see if there's a bad employer, yeah, and there might be a bunch of 10 people all at once who leave that employer after being essentially trafficked by the employer. Right. And they then approach.
It's a terrible thing, because they traffic people to for the picking and all that, don't they? And they also traffic the ladies into the local houses of ill repute.
Some do, but that is really a small number of the people that are trafficked in Victoria. Sometimes it's prostitution, marriage at a young age, but the vast majority of people, it's in the agricultural area.
Oh, right. Didn't know.
There's only about 150 a year in Australia.
Still 150 too many.
Indeed. Yeah. So it's a program that is managed jointly between the Australian Federal Police and Red Cross.
Oh, terrific. Yep.
But on a happier note,
there's some good news.
There is. Red Cross also manage internationally a Restoring Family Links program. And that's for people who are separated by war, disaster, natural disaster, or some external event happening to them. It's not for people who've just, run away from home and refusing to contact mum and dad.
I think the Salvation Army does something like that, don't they?
They could well do. Yep. And in fact, we believe it's been happening since the very day that Red Cross started in 1864, because Henry Dunant, the guy who started Red Cross, was given a note to take home to a dying soldier's mother in France.
Very big.
Yeah, and so that she knew what had happened to him. So we think it's been going on for that time.
Gee.
And about 200 people were helped by Red Cross Australia to reunite. And it's quite interesting because it might be, say, somebody in Africa. And if that's the case, the message goes through the Red Cross network and it might end up on a notice board in a community hall, or it might end up in a Red Cross volunteer cycling from village to village asking, do you know this family? Do you know this family?
True.
Indeed.
Because it's a worldwide organisation, Red Cross. Yeah. You've got people everywhere, haven't you?
We do.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great service. And I think once every 2 minutes, we put people internationally in contact with each other that had been separated.
Gee, but it's not for people who, as you say, they've just run away from home or anything like
no,
that.
No. They're separated because of some external disaster that has happened to them. Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Pardon me. All right, so we've talked about all the things that have happened in the past. What's going to happen now? We've whole new year, we're all starting. We've got any new things coming up, or we're just more and more of what you've been doing?
Red Cross is very good at doing what they do, so the programs are essentially all the same. Yep. We are always looking more and more at how they can be improved, though, and how the different aspects of the program can be assessed. So, again, slightly in the past, but last August we had a pop-up shop at Melbourne Town Hall and 700 volunteers popped up to help for that weekend.
Jeez.
And they sold 3,500 kilograms of clothing, which would otherwise have gone to landfill.
Geez, that's terrific, isn't
it? Raised to over $200,000. And whilst it's not a competition, we were more successful than the Sydney guys.
On that note, we'll take another quick break. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 26 minutes to 1 and 18 degrees. And I'm talking to Jennifer from Red Cross. Jennifer, you call it lifeblood, I call it the blood bank. Tell us a bit about that, please.
We all used to call it the blood bank, but it is now called lifeblood. And they're in Lilydale this week. They were last week as well, and they're here till Friday about 4 o'clock.
Whereabouts?
At the Baptist Church, number 305 Swansea Road in Lilydale.
All right. So what sort of hours are they there, Jennifer?
Generally from 12 till 8.
So afternoon, so people could get down there this afternoon?
They could indeed. They could indeed. And there have been calls on the radio lately where short of even the most basic blood O positive.
And they've altered the rules a bit on blood donation, didn't they? Because they had them, certain people were not eligible, but they've actually widened that a bit, I read, haven't they?
They have. They have indeed. So it used to be that people who lived in the UK in the mid-80s to the mid-90s weren't eligible. That's no longer the case.
You know?
Remember the mad cow disease?
Oh, I remember mad cow. Very
yeah, brave. It was yeah. all it was all related to that, but that's all been resolved. Yeah, happy to have anybody who lived in the UK in those days.
Yep.
And I was just saying that we were highlighting the lifeblood at the local Halloween street stall in Yarra Junction. And the most common comment I had was, I can't give blood because I've just had a new tattoo. And I thought, oh, yeah. And I gave blood last week and I asked about it and those rules have just changed. And it's now, instead of being 4 months, it's now 7 days after a tattoo you can give blood and 1 day after a body piercing.
Oh, right. Pardon me. I know they were, and particularly after COVID, that there were quite a lot of restrictions on it, but they seem to have all disappeared.
Yes, yes. You really just you just have to be healthy. And if you haven't ever given blood before under 70, if you've continuously been giving blood, you can keep going until your health says that you shouldn't.
Yep.
But if you're a new donor, you just have to be under 70.
Under 70. Also, there's no... we should say, is it there again at Lilydale?
It will be back in March from the 11th to the 22nd.
No, but it's only this week though, isn't it?
It's all this week until Friday. It was last week and till Friday of this week.
So any afternoon, we've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday afternoon, people can
jump
down
on in
to that address?
To 305 Swansea Road, Lilydale, at the Baptist Church.
And without, you never know, there's the old gag that Tony Hancock used to do about the blood donor, and he needed himself back. So sometimes people will never know when they need it. So
no, they don't. And most people assume that the blood is used for people in accidents or surgery, but that's only about 3% of the blood uses. The vast majority goes to people with cancers and blood diseases.
Does it?
75%.
I would have thought. I'm with all the rest who thought that it mainly went to for operations and that.
That's because we've all watched too much television.
Now, the other thing we just need to just broach pretty quickly, but they used to be the old op shops. They were often full of smelly stuff, but they just have a world of their own. But the op shops now, particularly the Red Cross, have taken on a completely different aura, haven't they?
They have indeed, and we do have one in Main Street in Croydon. There's 3 or 4 op shops from the different organisations, so it's great because they're all together and you can go from one to the other and pick what's right for you.
Pick up some good bargains.
Indeed, and most of the op shops work with fashion retailers, manufacturers, and they provide new clothes from their last season's clothes to the organisations for free. And so it's not all secondhand stuff. You can often pick up some really good brand new bargains as well.
Yeah, that's terrific. And certainly they don't have the sort of, stigma, I suppose, to, you know, when they were, people just didn't like to shop there, but they're really just like a normal shop now.
I know many people who only shop at op shops for environmental reasons and ethical reasons. There are so many good clothes that, you know, we grow out of them, or we don't like the colour, or you wore it to a school dance and you don't want to wear it again. And there are so many opportunities for terrific clothes.
I had a friend of mine a number of years ago, and he's a multimillionaire, and he said, I buy everything from the op shops.
Yeah.
Well, because he said, A, it supports the organisation,
yeah.
And B, he said, I mean, he had bought suits, he bought everything. And he said, well, it's not like the old days when you were a bit felt as though you're down and out if you went to an op shop. I mean,
no,
they really
they
are
just,
nice places.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're going to take another quick break and we'll be back with more.
Yarra Valley FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present and emerging.
Jennifer, I've got to say I'm a bit worried about this next little segment. You want to talk about a quiz, and I'm a bit worried about that.
I do. We're going to pretend we're online, and,
right.
And I'll ask you the questions. So Australian Red Cross has developed what they're calling the Disaster Preparedness Quiz, and anybody can find it by going to the Red Cross website, redcross.org.au, and typing quiz into the search bar and come up.
It's just, the idea behind this, it's not just a bit of fun though, is it?
No, it's to make you think about what you need to think about before this summer, before any potential disaster, whether it's fire or flood, earthquake.
All right. So, well, let's
go. All right,
go.
You ready?
Yeah, let's
go. Okay, question one. Getting separated from loved ones is one of the most stressful things a person can go through in an emergency. You can reduce the risk by planning ahead. Which meeting place or places should you and your family identify and agree on? Somewhere outside your house, like the letterbox? Somewhere in the neighbourhood? Somewhere to stay overnight? Or all of the above?
I would say all of the above.
Correct.
I got it.
Yay!
Give the band a biscuit.
Indeed. But everybody needs to know where it is, that whether you've chosen the letterbox, whether you've chosen grandma's place, whether you've chosen the local CFA.
Because some of the local councils have spots too, don't they?
They do, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Yep. So like, you all need to be on the same page. Okie dokie, you're leaving the house in a hurry. What are you going to take with you in your emergency kit? Important documents, medication, mobile phone and charger.
Yeah.
Family photos or all of the above?
I'd say all the above.
Correct.
Because you can't replace any of them, really, in a hurry.
Correct again.
And what was the list again?
Important documents.
Yeah.
Medication.
Yeah.
Mobile phone and charger.
Yeah.
Family photos.
And I would add to that either a credit card. Because
yep.
often you've got yep. nothing.
Yep. And you might also like to think about what you're doing with those important documents, because it might be that you take a copy of them. If you've got a photocopier at home or down at the local library, take a photocopy and leave them with an adult child somewhere down in the city so that you at least know the numbers of your Medicare card or whatever it is. Or take a photo with your phone. And you've just got to, so you have a copy of it on your phone, so that if for some reason you aren't able to get them at the time, your passport, your driver's license, whatever, have a copy of it on your phone, so that it's there in an emergency. You've already done it. You're already taking it with you if you're taking your phone.
So far, I haven't failed. So
you have. Okay. Alrighty.
I'm getting a bit worried as we go along.
Here's the one that, well, you could say I failed when I answered this one, or it could just be that, well, everybody has different decisions. Disasters are becoming more frequent. Who are you going to find out information from? Police, neighbours, the fire brigade, or Red Cross?
Now, it's a bit unfair because I have a pretty, because we actually discussed this one a little bit. But in fairness, before you mentioned it to me, I would have said police. But that's not right, is it?
No, it's not. And it's actually the answer that I gave when I did the online quiz as well. But the people most likely to help you in an emergency are your neighbours, along with your friends and family.
I suppose when you think about it, the police have got a million other things to worry about than Alan Collier, don't they?
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And ringing 000 just adds to their workload.
Yep.
Whereas neighbours, local people, will be finding out information from all sorts of sources, and you can combine all that information and find out what's happening.
Sounds good. Yep.
Not bad at all.
All right, another one.
Okay, true or false? Are local hotels and shelters usually happy to house your pets alongside you during an emergency?
I would say yes.
Well, you'd wish that if you had pets, but unfortunately it isn't often true. Many hotels and shelters do not accept animals except if they are a registered assistance animal.
Assisted dogs, yep.
Yep. So that means you have to think about your pets as well. You have to have an emergency plan for them. Are you going to go to a hotel, or are you going to go to a friend's place who is happy to take you and your dogs or cats or budgerigars?
Yeah, I would have thought that's a little unfair, because separating children out of their house with trauma, they'd like to take their pet. But I can see if you've got 100 dogs and some of them are big, aggressive, and others are little, could be a bit of a disaster.
It could be. And you know, some people have got snakes, some people have got horses, some people have got...
Couldn't take a horse. Well,
back in the 09 bushfires, the council did have an area down at the Lilydale Relief Centre for horses. So I'm not sure what their plans are these days, but...
All right, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more.
When I wake up, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who wakes up next to you. When I go out, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. If I get drunk, well, I know I'm gonna be the man who gets drunk next to you. And if I heaver, yeah, I know I'm gonna be the man who's heavering to you. But I will walk 500 miles and I will walk 500 more to be the man who walked 1,000 miles to fall down at your door. And I'm working, yes, I know I'm gonna be the man who's working hard for you. And when the money comes in for the work I do, I'll pass almost every penny on to you. When I come home, you. And when I'm dreaming, well, I know I'm gonna dream. I'm gonna dream about the time when I'm with you. When I go away, when I go away, well, I know I'm gonna be. I'm gonna be the man who goes along with you. And when I come home, when I come home, I know I'm gonna be. I'm gonna be the man who comes back home with you. I'm gonna be the man who's coming home.
With the Proclaimers, and I'm gonna be 500 miles. Anyway, we're talking to Jennifer from Red Cross. Jennifer, if we've got people that are interested, well, first of all, we need to get them down to the blood bank that's down in Lilydale between now and Friday. They've got 2.5 days to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. No excuses.
And that's in Swansea
Road at the Baptist Church.
Sounds good. All right, so we've got people listening. Hopefully they're fired up. They want to get involved with Red Cross. They want to find out more about it. How are they going to do that?
Or they want to do the quiz. They go to the www.redcross.org.au.
Can I just say, and I know I laughed about the quiz, but at the end of the day, I think it's terrific because you're never going to make a decision if someone says to you there's a fire 5Ks down the road that's travelling at 80 to 90 Ks an hour. You're never going to stand there and think, oh, now what do I need to take? So this needs to be really thought about now, doesn't it? Long before there's an emergency.
It does. In that situation, your head's going to be full of swear words. It's not you're not going to be thinking straight. Yep. And the more that you've thought about and prepared beforehand, you know, it might be that you put a box together at the beginning of summer if you're in a particularly fire-prone area.
I've got a friend of mine, and I just can't think who it was now, but they were telling me that what you said about duplicating stuff, they've actually got something all ready to roll during summer just inside their front door that's got all their credit card details because they don't know how long they'll be gone. They'll need money, medication, and they haven't necessarily got medication, but they've got
a list
of everything, including all sorts of things they think they'll need because and they've got it ready so that at a moment, within 5 minutes, they can be in the car and gone. So it's a terrific idea.
It is. I mean, you can buy new undies and socks, but it's so much more difficult to replace your driver's license or...
Oh, and it's not only that. If you're applying for... council and those hand out aid, but very often they need you to be able to prove who you are
and
where you live, and if your licence is gone, you're in a bit of trouble.
Indeed. Yep. And that is actually another part of the service that Red Cross does in an emergency: register, reunite, find. We register people and we keep a list and match together inquiries about people who might have been affected by a disaster.
Terrific. Yep. So how are we going to find out more?
Okay, so redcross.org.au. There's lots of information on there about the programs that we offer. There's lots of information about preparing for a disaster. And, of course, there is that little quiz, which is definitely worth doing.
Yeah.
The phone number for Red Cross Victoria is 1-800-733-276. And we have a 1-800-733-276.
And if you haven't got a pencil, get ready to write it down and we'll get Deb to give it to you in another couple of minutes again.
And we, of course, have a Facebook page, Yarra Valley. There is only one branch in the Yarra Valley covering exactly the same area as Yarra Valley FM. And we have a Facebook page. You just, on Facebook, just search Red Cross Yarra Valley or Yarra Valley Red Cross and you'll find us. And we have a lot of ads about our monthly stall that's at Launch Fresh. We're so delighted with the support we get from Launch Fresh and have amazing knits and sewn goods and cakes and biscuits and jams.
I've got to say, Red Cross have always had nice cakes.
They do, they do. And I'm particularly partial to the raspberry jam, but that's because I make it. So get on down once a month or at any of the sort of major festivals like Crank Up, we're usually there as well. Yep. Show the Facebook site. Or if you want to email me directly, it's yv.redcross@gmail.com.
yv.redcross
at gmail.com or through the Facebook page.
Sounds terrific. Deb, we've got a couple of minutes left. Is there anything else that you'd like to just bring us up to date on or reinforce?
Well, there's one more quiz question that we could go through that seems to be sitting on the top of my pile here.
You get me worried, but anyway.
We haven't done this one. So how long does it take to recover from a disaster? 1 to 6 months? 6 months to 2 years? 2 to 6 years? Or depends on the impact?
I would suggest it depends on the impact. And I would say that some people probably never get over it properly in a really bad situation.
Indeed, because everybody's different, everybody reacts differently, and what happens to everybody is different.
And the other thing is too that very often when the impact of whatever it is happens, people seem to get the adrenaline and they keep going, and sometimes they keep going for 12 to 18 months, then all of a sudden they just fall in a hole.
Exhausted, yeah. University of Melbourne have shown it can take years to recover, but they also show that if you're prepared, you can make better decisions and that helps you recover more quickly after a disaster.
Does it?
So if you've... Yes.
Well, now I think about it, that's probably makes sense, doesn't it?
Yep. Having a plan helps you continue your life, you can stay calmer and you can recover better.
So... All the
get
better
prepared.
To get the plan. Get the quiz and find out what you need to do. And what was the things that you mentioned again that you really need? I mean, you need your Medicare card, you need your licence.
Your important documents.
Yep.
Your medication.
Yep.
Mobile phone
and
charger.
Yeah.
And family photos.
Yeah, well, because... The family photos are irreplaceable.
They are.
And certainly those other... And again, I'd say the credit card because I just think you can't live without money. And sometimes... And there is aid come through from council and all sorts of people in Red Cross, but sometimes it doesn't happen that same day.
No, no.
It just can't be done.
No. The bushfires monies, after everybody had put in their paperwork completely, everybody was paid within 3 days.
Gee, that's not bad.
So that was pretty good.
Yeah. All right, Deb, look, thanks for having us, thanks for coming along. It's always good to find out what Red Cross are up to, and they do so many great things. And how long has it been going?
1864 was year one, so I guess that makes it 160 years next year.
Be one of the longest growing, one of the longest associations, I would have thought.
I imagine so. Certainly it's the oldest in the charity space, I would say. And that founder was the first person to win the Nobel Peace Prize.
I'm not surprised. And what a great organisation. And I'll bet whoever it was never realised when they started out what it would become.
Absolutely not.
Have to go. Great to have you along, Jennifer.
Thank you for the opportunity, Alan.
Thanks.